2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And then also turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." I don't know how many of you got to go on the Washington, D.C. trip, but I've got to go there 2 times so far. And I'm sure many of you that got to go has got to see some amazing things. As I think about the trips that I've been there, I think about how you would see many of the monuments and many of the memorials. I think about how you would see the Washington Monument and how you would look at that and you would remember about our forefathers who came before us and established our country and the men who gave their lives in the Revolutionary War to die so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. I think of the Lincoln Memorial, how you would go there and you would see the building and you'd see the statue of our president, and it would bring to your remembrance exactly how many people had to die during the Civil War for many people to have freedom and for the country that we have today. I think of the Vietnam Wall that you would go to visit. Just recently we had they travel with the replica wall, and they go to different places and hold memorial services across the country. And it was just recently up at our memorial cemetery up at First Baptist Church. And I think as you would go to that wall and you'd see the thousands and thousands of names that have been etched on that wall, and you would think about and put it in remembrance exactly how many people had to die for the freedoms that we have. I think of Arlington Cemetery. I don't know if you got a chance to go there, but if you ever do, it's an amazing sight just to see the rows and rows and rows of white crosses and what they represent, the sacrifice that has been done so that you and me can enjoy the freedoms that we have. And as you would go to these memorials and as you would see the buildings and the names etched in the wall and the crosses, a lot of times as you're walking, something will begin to stir inside of you. And what that is that's your patriotism. That's your patriotism and your love for your country that stirs. Now, why does that stir? It's because you've been put into remembrance of exactly how much people had to sacrifice for you to, for what you have today. As I think about this, I think it's a principle that we can use in our Christian lives. Tonight I want to speak mainly, I guess, you know, I have a heart for teenagers. Mainly I work with a lot of teenagers. And, you know, it's hard for me to know what it's like to be, you know, in my 30s or 40s as a Christian. I've never been there yet. So I guess I think of, you know, as a teenager, I remember it very easily. And to be honest with you, as a teenager, it was a struggle for me to do right, and it's still a struggle to do right. I mean, maybe I didn't learn everything I was supposed to learn at college, but I still struggle every day with trying to make sure I, you know, do what I'm supposed to do and doing what's right and keeping myself right with God. And I guess tonight that's who I want to mainly speak to, but I believe I'm going to preach a principle that can be used in everybody's life. As you read the verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." You see, as you would look at those patriotic memorials in Washington, D.C., and it stirs up your patriotism, what I think tonight we should do is maybe build some spiritual monuments that we go to every day and remember some things that are in our life that'll stir up, as the Bible says, is our pure minds. Our minds that will do to make the choice to do what's right in our lives. As you go to your daily prayer closet or whenever you spend time with God, I encourage you to take a couple things into remembrance. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, taking a couple things every day to remembrance, to let it stir you up as you go throughout your day. As you go and you have to make the choices to do what's right and what's wrong, as you're tempted with sin, take these things and remember them and let them stir up your pure mind. The first thing I want to talk to you tonight about is remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Call to remember the former days. Call to remember the time whenever you weren't maybe a saved Christian. Call and remember the time that, you know, you wasn't Mr. Christianity. You know, if you would remember the time and remember what you are, you wouldn't have to fight with some of the issues that you would fight with throughout the day. If you'd keep a proper perspective on exactly what we all are and where you came from, you wouldn't have to fight with some of the things you fight with. If you look at, I think of our the pastor up at First Baptist Church, Dr. Scott, he says that before he goes to his pulpit every Sunday, he'll go to his prayer closet in his office. And as he goes to that prayer closet, he will say that he'll go to there and he'll get on his knees, and inside he'll close the door and it's dark. And inside in the corner, he has a jar full of dirt. And he says he picks up that dirt and he just feels it. And he says, God, this is what you're going to use today. This is what you're going to use to preach your holy word. You know, and I think if we would all just take that to remembrance, that every day, you know, we're nothing more than dirt. We're nothing more than dirt. You know, if you would take to remembrance exactly what you are and where you came from, and the no good sinner that we all are, you know, you wouldn't deal with pride. You wouldn't have to go, as you go to school, you wouldn't look down on other people. You wouldn't look down. You wouldn't shun the other students. You wouldn't look down on other employees or other people in your workplace. You wouldn't look down on them because you know what? You remember what you are. Just dirt. Just dirt. Who, the only way you have a way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's all. That's the only thing good about you. And it wasn't nothing of your own doing. You just accepted what was given to you. Just remember exactly where you came from. You know, that would also protect you from bitterness. As you go throughout your day and you think that you're not being treated rightly or you deserve something more, wait a minute. Remember what you are. Remember where you came from. We deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. Where everything that we have that's good in our life is a gift from God. Remember where you came from. Next thing I ask you to remember tonight, to let it stir you up, is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Remember that we are in a spiritual war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Realize that we're in a spiritual war every day of our life, and that everything that we do, every people that we have to go out and reach, we need to be right with God so that God can use us. You know, a lot of times in my own personal life, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't always do what's right because I felt like it was because it's the right thing to do all the time. You know why I did what's right sometimes? Just because I have bus kids in Chicago. And you know what? They don't need a person who goes out and does sin all Monday through Friday and then show up on their doorstep. You see, the only person that they have, they don't have a lot of times, you know, they have a Sunday school teacher, but you know, the person who shows up at their door and that's going to lead them and guide them and direct them is their bus workers and their bus captains. You know, they need somebody who's walked with God that week. Sometimes you don't read your Bible just because I feel like reading my Bible. Sometimes I just do it because I know that there's a spiritual war going on out there. And there's people that are relying on you and me. You know, I think as Pastor Jerry mentioned his soul winning time, you know, it wouldn't be so hard for us to go soul winning if we'll remember every day that we're in a spiritual war. That every day we're vying for lost souls that Satan has hold of, that we have to show them the gospel and we have to tell them exactly what Jesus Christ did for them so that they can have salvation. You have to remember that we're in a spiritual war. If you'll remember that, you wouldn't shoot down other Christians. If you remember the fact that we need each and every one of us and that we're all in one big struggle and that our nation is in a place where we need Christians to stand up and to live what's right and to keep each other and to help each other and push each other along to do exactly what we need to do as Christians. You know, as I went through college, you'll learn really quick that, you know, sometimes you don't always feel like wanting to help other Christians. In the dorms, man, it was a test sometimes because you would have there's some crazy people sometimes at some of these Bible colleges. And I'm just going to tell you, there's some, you know, people that are out there. I was talking to somebody that was one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about one of my freshman year. First let me explain our Sunday schedule. My Sunday schedule, and like everybody that's been up there knows it, it's like really crazy. Like Sunday morning, we get up like at, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then like we get up, we get dressed. You know, we'll go to Chicago in the morning, we'll run a bus in the morning, we'll pick up all these kids. Worst kids in America, I promise you. But they're good kids. But we'll run up there and we'll pick all these kids up. We'll take them to church. We'll sing songs on the bus. We'll preach to them on the bus. We'll take them to Sunday school class. We'll take them to junior church, to teen service. Then we'll load them all back up on the bus. We'll do promotion. We'll do fun things for them. We'll sing songs on the way home. We'll preach on the way home. We'll get them all home about 3:30, 4 o'clock sometimes. And then we'll all hurry back to the church, make it for the Sunday night service. And then after that, the kids who came to night church, you get back on a bus. Now, night church up there gets out at like at 9 o'clock. So, you know, by the time you get out of there, it's like 9:30. So you're on the bus. You go all the way back up to Chicago. You come all the way back. And it's like probably 11:30, 12 o'clock at night when you're getting back. You know, you walk in your door. It's about 12:30 at night. And so, I mean, it's been a long day. You know, you've had kids jumping on you, screaming at you, yelling at you, pulling on your hair, you're pulling on your tie, yanking on your shirt coat. You know, you're just like, what in the world's going on? So by the time Sunday's done, you're like, you know, you've had enough. You're ready to go hibernate for about a week. And so, you know, And so then you go and you have to deal with your roommates. And so, now, I had this one roommate my freshman year, okay? And this guy's a good guy. Like, I mean, he really is. He has a heart for God, and he's a really good guy. But he just had, like, a lot of things. You know, like, just one of those people that have a lot of things that bother you. You know, like, they just do a lot of things that just can just drive you crazy. And, I mean, like, and he's a real good guy, but, like, he would, like, okay, like, just one thing. He would, like, sit there, and, like, when he'd comb his hair, he'd always make this sound. He'd be like, and like everything he did, he sounded like he was like, it was like a struggle, you know what I mean? Like putting on a shoe was like a struggle, you know? I'm like, you just put on your shoe. I don't know what's so hard about it. But I mean, everything he did was a hard thing, you know? Like, he was just totally wearing himself out combing his hair. And so, you know, this guy, I mean, like, there's a lot of things that would bother you. But, you know, we come in from a Sunday night, and then the way it works up there is a lot of times on Monday mornings, you don't have classes. That is your one day that you get to sleep in. You get to catch up on, you know, all the sleep that you missed out on the weekend. So you're looking forward to it. You know, Monday's a big day. You're going to sleep. And so, you know, you get there and, you know, you go to bed that night and you're tired. Well, I woke up. I can't remember what time it was. You know, he set some alarm like at 5:30 in the morning. Now, you know, you just got in like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you're tired. You've been through a hard day. And this guy sets alarm at 5 or something in the morning. And this guy would never hear his alarm. I mean, never. And I slept underneath him, and I'd beat the bed. I'd, hey, wake up. Wake up, man. I'd yell his name, screaming at him. And most of the time, like, that didn't bother me, you know, not enough to make me really mad at him, you know, because I just figured he just, you know, that's just the way he is. So, like, we had a big day and everything, and I come in, go to bed, I'm tired, and, you know, I'm expecting to hit the bed in the morning. Well, then that alarm goes off, and I just can't believe it. I can't deal with it no more. So I'm hitting the bed, and I hit it for, like, 5 minutes. Nothing happens. So I'm hitting the bed even harder, pushing up underneath the bed, yelling at him, saying, Joe, turn off your alarm. Turn it off. And nothing happens. So I get out of bed. Now, it's not, you know, it's one thing, you know, if you're still in bed, you can go back to sleep pretty easy. But once you get out of bed, you're done for, you know. And so I get out of bed, jump up, and he's not there. And so I'm like, I'm mad. I mean, I'm like hot. And so I'm like, I'm going to go find this guy. And so I jump out of my bed, and I'm like, maybe he went to the shower. I'm in the shower room yelling for him. I'm like, Joe, where are you at? And, you know, nobody answers. I'm like, man, where's this guy at? So I go all the way down to the end of the hallway. And at the end of this hallway, for some reason, there's just this mattress laying on the floor. And so I go all the way down to the end of this hallway looking for him. You know, I'm going to search every floor, and I'm just going to find this guy and light into him. And so I go looking for him. And there he is. And he's still in his clothes from Sunday, shirt and tie and everything. He's laying on this mattress. He's got his hand in a bag of Doritos and his Bible in the other hand, sleeping. Let me tell you, you don't feel like helping other Christians at that time. You don't care if he makes it in the ministry. You're just like, get out, stop. Just whatever you're doing, just leave me alone. It was bad. There was bad, but, you know, I probably deserved every bit of it. I had him for 2 years as a roommate. You know, as God was testing me. As soon as I come back sophomore year, there he is again in the same room with me. So it was a test. I'll tell you all this story. I mean, I was a jerk, man. But we used to, he was a good guy, okay? And like, he really cared. He was a good guy. He was a good guy. All right, well, listen to this, okay? He was a good guy, okay? But he would always try to make sure that he didn't offend nobody. Now, I told him, if you don't want to offend me, take off the stupid alarm clock. But, you know, he really, I mean, every morning he set that alarm clock for like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go walk with God. Never got up. He would sleep till like 7:45, miss a class, and then, you know, then he'd finally get up. But, you know, he would try. He was trying his hardest. He deep down, man, he wanted to do what's right. He was a good guy. And so one night, I'm like, I'm going to mess with him. You know, and he always, you know, he always felt bad, like, if he'd make us mad, you know, because he wants to get along with everybody, you know. And he's being the good Christian, and I'm being the jerk. So I'm going to, we're going to mess with him one night. So he sets his phone alarm for his alarm clock now in our sophomore year. And so all of us are in there, and he's like, he gets ready to go to bed, turns off the light. And pull out my cell phone, and I turn off my, you know how you can hide your caller ID? And so I call his phone. It rings all loud, you know, because he's got it all the way up so you can hear his alarm. So it rings all loud, ring, ring. And we're like, man, Joe, what's going on? We're trying to sleep, you know. So like, we all start yelling. We all know what's going on. So we all start yelling, what are you doing? Turn off the phone, man. Come on, we're going to sleep. And he's like, hello? Hello, who is this? Hello. And so, you know, and then I just hang up the phone, you know, and act like nothing happened. So we're all yelling at him, turn off the phone, Joe. We're all trying to sleep. We got to get up early. And he's like, I'm sorry, guys. And so then, you know, he lays it down. I pull out my phone again, call him. And we keep on getting madder. Joe, turn off the phone. We're trying to sleep. What's wrong with you? He's like, I'm sorry, but it's my alarm clock in the morning. I have to get up in the morning. I won't make it if I don't. And so we're just calling him. You know, I called him like 6 or 7 times. And he's like, and he's just like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, but I have to leave it on. You know, what if there's an emergency and my family needs to get a hold of me? And we're just, I mean, every time we're lighting into him. What are you doing? We're trying to sleep. So, I mean, I don't know. He was a good guy. But as you go through college, I know, I was a jerk. But as you go through college, I learned that, you know what, you need to help other Christians. There's times when you don't feel like it. There's times when you feel like, you know what, just throw in the towel, buddy. I don't care whether you make it or not right now. And, you know, it's horrible. But you know what? We need to remember that we're in a spiritual warfare. And you know what? That guy's still in college, and he's going to make it, and he's doing fine. He didn't quit after that. Don't worry. But, you know, he was – but honestly, we need to help each other. We need to help each other. We need each and every one of us. You know, we need each and every one of us to be soul winners. You know, when's the last time you encouraged? Maybe you go soul winning, and you know somebody that doesn't. When's the last time you asked them to go with you? When's the last time you asked them, hey, look, I need – you know, I'd like to have you as a visiting partner with me. Won't you come with me? When's the last time? Remember that we're in a spiritual warfare and that we need each and every one of us. We've got to help each other along. If one of us falls or one of us stumbles and we do something we shouldn't do, it's not time to put each other down. It's not time to push each other down. It's time to lift each other up and say, you know what, it's okay. It happens to the best of us. Come on up. We need you in this fight. We need each other. In spiritual warfare, we need each and every one of us. We're losing ground quick, and we need each and every one of us. Not only that, but as I think of teenagers and trying to do what's right, if you'll remember what your parents have done for you, it'll help you do what's right. It'll help you do what's right. If you'll remember all the times that they've provided for you and that they've helped you and they've prayed for you and they've cared for you and they've loved you, you know, it'll help you do what's right. If you take that with you every day and you say, you know what, I'm going to remember. I'm going to go in my prayer closet. I'm going to thank God for my parents. And I'm going to thank God for all that they've done for me, the way they provided for me, the way they've helped me, the way they've guided me, the way that they've cared for me. I'm going to thank God for them. You know, as you go throughout your day and you go to do something that maybe you shouldn't be doing, it's amazing. God will bring that to your remembrance and say, hey, don't forget about your parents. They'd be awfully disappointed if they saw you doing this. You know, remember that. Remember what your parents have done for you. But not only that, but remember what your church has done for you. As a teenager, there's many things that, you know, you'll understand, but one thing is that you really don't have a whole lot to do about the church that you have right now. There is people who have come before you, and there's deacons in this church and men who have worked very hard to have a church that you get to have. Right. You see, there's people who've laid the groundwork in this church and given you the ability to have the youth group that you have, the school that you get to go to. And as you go through your daily life and as you have to choose between right and wrong and trying to make it in the Christian life, remember what your church has done for you. You know, there's a lot invested in each and every one of you teenagers. There's a lot invested in each and every one of you. And remember what the Bible says. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is going to be required of you. Much is going to be required of you. As I go through my Bible college years and I looked, and sometimes you didn't feel like it keep on going. You know, sometimes you just felt like, you know what? I just need to go relax for a little bit because this is just getting too crazy. But, you know, you would think about it. There's a lot of people here that are praying for you. They send those prayer. You know, you guys would send those prayer cards to us. And I get those prayer cards and I think, you know what? There's people that I can't disappoint that are praying for me, that are pulling for me. And I don't want to have to disappoint them. You know, don't disappoint your church family. There's a lot invested into you. There's a lot of, you know, the men who are working on these buildings and you're going to get to go to school there in a couple years. You know, they've invested a lot into that building. A lot of their time, a lot of their effort, a lot of their work. And as you go to decide whether what's right and wrong, as you go to decide what to do with your life, remember that there's a lot invested into you. And you keep a heart for God, and you keep a heart that says, I'm going to do whatever God wants, just because, you know what, there's been a lot invested into me. Remember what your church has done for you. Remember as they've prayed for you, as they've cared for you, as they've helped invested in you, and as they've built this church that you get to enjoy. You remember exactly what they've done for you. Remember what your church has done. And then lastly, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember what Christ has done for you. As you go throughout your daily life and as you try to do what's right and as you struggle, it's going to be a struggle. The Christian life is victories and it's defeats. You know, you'll some days will just be days you're just like, you know what, I lost today. I fell, I've done wrong, I lost today. But as you go and you try to get more victories and defeats, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember all that Christ did for you. Remember as he went to that cross, And you remember all the pain and humiliation that he suffered for you. You remember as he was taken before those people and as he was humiliated in front of thousands. And as he was taken and beaten and as he was spit upon. You remember what Christ did for you. You remember that Christ took the crown of thorns upon his head for your sake. You remember that as he was looking down the line and in the future and he saw you and he saw you as you would do wrong and as he loved you and he cared for you, he hung there on a cross for your sake. You remember what Christ did for you. You remember exactly how much he loved you and how much he cared for you and how much he gave whenever he died on that cross that day. As he could have called 10,000 angels and as he could have came down off that cross and as he didn't have to make the sacrifice, you remember what Christ did for you that day and you remember that, you know what, there's a God who loves you and there's a God who paid a price for you. And as you go to do what's right, you go to do what's wrong, and as you have to make that choice whether you do what's right or wrong, you remember what God did for you on that day. You remember what Christ did for you as he saved your soul. You remember that. Not only that, but remember your inheritance. Remember, turn to Romans 8, chapter 15, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." You remembered what you inherited as a Christian. You remember what you inherited as a Christian. Amen. You know, I think sometimes I read this verse, I kind of got, I don't know, a little bit of an idea in my mind. And I was reading this verse, and you know, as I go through Chicago, I'll see a lot of homeless people that are living on the streets that suffer a lot, to be honest with you. They don't have any way out. A lot of them have problems with alcohol, a lot of different things, drugs. And they live on these streets, and as they come up to you and they ask you for a dollar for spare change, you know, my heart goes out to them. And I think sometimes, as you know, those homeless people, they're in bondage by their situation. You know, their addictions, they're in bondage to those. And I think sometimes, if you know, what if I was to take those people? And I was to take a homeless person, I was to say, you know what, I don't want you living on the street no more. I have all the means necessary. I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy you a beautiful home. And I'm going to put you in this beautiful home. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you all the food you could want. I'm going to give you all the wonderful clothing you could want. I'm going to give you a nice car, a nice vehicle. Now, if I was to give that homeless person that, and he'd probably be really thankful and everything. And then, let's say I came back next week. And I came by and I looked on the street and I saw the same homeless person. I would say, man, that's kind of weird. I just gave you a home and I just gave you clothing and I just gave you everything that you could possibly want. Why are you back into those dirty clothes and living on the street again? You know, I wonder if God looks down sometimes and he says, now I've saved your soul and I've given you a home in heaven and I've given you the Holy Spirit inside of you to do right and I set you free from your bondage of sin. And I wonder if he comes back and he says, no, wait a minute, I set you free from those bondage of sin. What are you doing back in it? Now, wait a minute, you came a long way. You came down that aisle and you bowed your knee and you asked me to save your soul. Why did you run right back into your sin? Why did you run into that lifestyle? I wonder if God scratches his head and says, that makes no sense at all. Why would you do that? It's not much different. Remember the inheritance that you have. Remember that as you live your life and as you make your choices in your life, and yeah, it is your life, as we all like to say, it's my life, I'm going to do whatever I want. Remember that you carry a name with you. That you carry a name with you. And that whether you want to go out and you want to try to hide it, you want to go out and you want to try to dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, they'll still know where you came from. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the Christian school. You graduated from here and you go out and you live the whatever way you want to, but you remember that you have an inheritance that you're still carrying with you. You have an inheritance of being a Christian, and you carry that wherever you go. Whether how hard you try to hide it, you're still carrying that inheritance, and they're still watching you, and they're still trying to decide whether or not, you know, they really truly think there's a God in heaven, and they're going to watch you and see how you act. You're still going to carry that inheritance no matter where you go. Remember the inheritance that you have been given. I don't know if this is much help, but it helped me in my Christian life. As I struggle to do right, as I try to live a good Christian life and a life with victories in it, and a life of doing exactly what God would have me to do, I found it helpful to remember these things. To remember where I came from. To remember what I am. A sinner. Saved by God's grace. Nothing more. A sinner. I deserve nothing out of this life. Every good thing that's been given to me is a gift from God. You say, y'all, but you don't know how bad I've been done wrong. Yeah, you're right, I probably don't. But remember what you are. And remember what he's gone through to save your soul. Remember where you came from. Remember that we are in a spiritual war. As you go throughout your life and as you go throughout your days, remember that we need each and every one of us to get in this fight. We need each and every one of us to be soul winners. We need each and every one of us to go out and to reach the lost. Let that stir you up. Let that stir your right mind, your spirit, and it'll help you to make the right decisions as you go throughout your days. Remember what your parents have done for you. Remember how much they've cared for you, how much they've invested into you, how much they've worked to see you have the life that maybe they didn't get to enjoy as a teenager. Remember what your parents have done for you. Remember what the church has done for you here. Whether you're a teenager, maybe you're a younger couple. You know, you still got a church that a lot of the older men here in this church didn't get a chance to have. They had to build this church. And as a younger couple, you get to enjoy it at the state it is right now. Remember that that's a gift from God, and that as you have to make your choices on what your standards are in your own family and in your own home, remember that and let that stir you up. Let that stir you up to make a right decision, to keep you in your pure mind, as the Bible says. Remember what your parents have done, remember what your church has done, and then remember what Christ has done. Remember how much he cared for you. You know, it's amazing, and I think, this is, maybe it's just me, but like I believe there's helps in the Bible to help you to do right. When you're facing a time, you're trying to make right decisions, there's things in the Bible that'll help you. I think of Proverbs 3:6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." You know, if you could just acknowledge Christ in everything you do, you probably wouldn't have the struggles you have. You know, if before you would go to maybe do that sin that you always seem to have struggles with, if you could just acknowledge him before you do it, he'll direct your path. He'll give you the wisdom and the strength to get through it. He'll get you through the temptation. And all that ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct you. He'll direct you in everything you do. Remember what Christ has done for you. Tonight, I guess what I'm just trying to say is that I hope that these are a couple things that maybe you can take to your prayer closet. A couple things that you can go and say, you know what, I'm going to remember these things every day of my life. And as I face the temptations, as I face Satan's attacks, I'm going to remember these things. I'm going to remember exactly what has been done for me and how much has been put into me. And I'm going to do what's right. And as you go to your prayer closet, you remember these things, and you let, as the Bible says, stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. We'll pray real quick, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Jerry. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for all you've done for us tonight. I thank you for your blessing, Lord. I thank you for how much you've cared for us, Lord, and how much you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege to come to this church tonight. Now, Father, I ask that you'd please just work here tonight. And, Lord, I pray that it just be a help to each and every person in here, Lord, to maybe just get through one more battle, Lord, as they deal with the temptations of sin and with Satan's attacks, that you'll just give them the strength and the ability to get through it, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way in everything that's done tonight and everything that's said. In Jesus' name, amen.